Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and I am so excited to bring you this episode today. I speak with my work son, Chad Hargrove. Chad and I met about 2 years ago at a workshop in Miami and have become really, really good buddies. I affectionately call him my work son because I check in on him like a mom and I keep tabs on him like a mom and I probably annoy the crap out of him like a mom. Chad is one of the smartest people I know. He has such a great perspective on things and he is a wealth of information. And today, Chad and I talk about some of the biggest mistakes we see people making when trying to lose fat. We talk about the scale, we talk about nutrition and some nutrition basics, and we also talk about skinny fat and what that is and how to fix it. So sit back, put your feet up, and take a listen. I hope you enjoy this episode. Leave me a message. I would love to know what you think. Have a good one.
Hey, Chad.
Oh. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I just got back from a workout and just did my lazy boy.
Good. I'm doing the work mom check-in first. Everything okay?
I'm alive. I haven't hurt myself.
That makes me happy.
Yeah, good. Just hanging out.
Yeah, for everybody that doesn't know, Chad is my adopted son. I am the official work mom of Chad Hargrove, and I literally keep tabs on him just like a mother would.
where would I be without you?
He's the absolute best. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
It's awesome.
Good to talk publicly for once.
I know, right? We don't do this enough. So for everybody out there, Chad and I met, gosh, it's been what, like 2.5 years ago, something like that?
Oh, it was.
At Nick's thing?
It was like a July, was it July or August or something? We're going back. Yeah, probably just over 25 months ago.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, he and I were at a 2-day mentorship with Nick Tominello and came across each other and started talking. And yeah, we have the same coach and and it just started from there. And now I'm a work mom.
Like who's this woman with the delts?
Oh yeah, and we actually worked out that day too, I think. In the morning, right?
Yeah, we worked out the next morning.
Yeah. So that was fun. So Chad and I have been connected for quite some time, and we've seen each other a couple times since then and have done some things together, and and then I keep tabs on him regularly, just like a mom. Well, I am. I mean, that's my job, so that's what I do. Yeah. You know, Chad and I are kind of I think we're cut from the same cloth a lot in how we approach things with people. And I was curious, I would just wanted to start off with this with you. What do you see out there as the biggest mistake people are making right now with fat loss?
The comparison thing is just something that kind of that comes up in conversations with clients all the time. And I think there's just like, you know, it's almost cliche at this point, but like there's a lack of realism, which I'm like careful to say, because telling people they're unrealistic is like almost like it's almost like an insult. Not being grounded in reality and all this stuff, but it's fixed into the industry to a point where I just think, you know, like it's, you know, if you work a 9-to-5 or you have kids and get into the gym 4 or 5 days a week, like, you know, probably is a stretch long term. You have a social life. It's like all these things factor into the point where it's like, yeah, you might not be the person who makes a radical change in 8 weeks and loses 15 pounds or something or something along those lines. So I think that's a big one.
Oh, I do too. I totally agree. I think the unrealistic expectation's huge. I think people think after a week they should start seeing some significant progress.
Yeah, the scale's another one. The other problem is it's just like if you've ever had a friend that like gambles, I have a friend that goes to the casino, or actually no, like bets on sports and that type of stuff. And you know, like he hasn't gotten rich yet, but based on the amount I hear him talk, it sounds like he should have. So, because I only hear about the win. So like when you're out there on Instagram or listening to your friends at, you know, whatever, like, you know, Friday night, you're not hearing too much about like the failures. You're just hearing highlight reels. And this is just skewing what you actually think is out there. Someone says that they lost 3 pounds in the last 3 days and you actually think that's good, but that could be just, you know, they starved themselves for 2 days, or, you know, just some random thing. Like people just, you know, poor at reading all this stuff. So, you know, it just plays into all this stuff. Like, why am I not doing that? And, you know, it's just, like, you're probably not even supposed to be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this whole unrealistic expectation leads people to program hop, not sticking with anything long enough to let anything happen.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, they try the latest and greatest, and then, it, you know, that doesn't work after a week. And then I'm just going to hop over here and try this because my friend's doing keto. I'm going to hop over there. Oh, God, I can't do that for more than a day or two. And then, you know, it's just one thing after another.
It's I think people always make a stop.
It is.
Kind of insane.
It is. That always comes. I get asked about keto every day, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, every day,
like when you're in the industry, like we do a pretty good job of, like, you know, like don't crap on keto because it can work, and, you know, like don't tell people any method is wrong because, you know, they're like, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But the thing is like there's probably like a 0.01% of people out there that could actually follow it.
Yeah,
I think any of those people are ever going to be my client. Anyways, I'm going off on a tangent on keto, but I think like what you're saying about program hopping, like I do a lot of kind of like preemptive communication whenever I kind of just like I'm always kind of coaching, like, because I have clients on the scale on a daily basis, and I'm always trying to be realistic about, like, you know, if you're going to celebrate the day that it went 3 pounds, like you have to not get just as down and the day that it randomly goes 3 up, because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Be aware of, like, I ate 200 calories less than I normally do last. So that's why I lost 3 pounds. I'm like, trust me, you were going to lose those 3 pounds probably if you ate a little bit more than you usually do too. So just kind of getting away from all this like false analysis of what's happening, and just like, just be steady about the whole process.
Yeah. I'm trying to really work the message of, there's no rush to this, you know. It's a journey. It's creating lifestyle. It's there's no end date. And honestly, that's a hard concept, I think, for most people to kind of wrap their brains around. I know it was for me, but I think once you can, then you can actually let things happen.
Yeah. Well, it's like, what was your secret, Susan? It's like, well, I really took those days where the down or up, like, to heart like crazy, and it dictated everything I did for the next week, to the point that I like entirely the next day. It's like, you know, it's funny because, like, you're not going to really ever get a, like most of the people that, like, you know, people that come and invest in training typically, you know, like they're typically like smart enough to realize that's a good decision, and they're willing to listen to someone else. None of this stuff is groundbreaking stuff. Like it's all common sense. It's just our psychology gets in the way of it. In anything we want to do that's like a big goal, we constantly battle with our like expected results.
Yeah.
What real results are. I mean, like, you know, like we both run businesses. I'm sure like there are times when we think that things are going better, and then we're brought down to reality very quickly. And it's the exact same thing. Like you think that 3 pounds you lost in the first week is going to keep up, but you're going to find out it's going to slow down quite a bit. You know, you can get like, you just try not to get too excited, but that's the hard thing.
Well, it's so interesting because the scale is so simple and it's so easy to understand and wrap your head around and easy to use as validation, because it's simple.
Yeah.
It's on the simplest of terms. And because of that, I think that's where everyone gravitates to. And, you know, I get asked all the time how much I weigh. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know. I could probably guess within 5 pounds. But I just don't own a scale anymore. So for me, that works.
Yeah.
You know, I know it doesn't work for everybody, but you know, it's interesting because I have clients who want to weigh less frequently, like once a week or once a month. And I don't particularly like to do that with people. How about you?
Well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that because like you say you don't get on a scale or like you don't know what you weigh. And I think that would almost make someone more prone to being like, oh, wow, Susan's got the secret. I was thinking of weighing less because like it fluctuates and I hate that. And here's Susan who doesn't get on the scale. And that's probably why. But it's not why. It's just like, I think the scale is great. Like, I think it's like, and I think it depends on the person. I think in some
cases, absolutely.
I think,
yeah,
I think when you're trying to make a change, because I think, no, it's not. For me, I think it's a regulator for a lot of people. It is for me. When I get off the scale, I can let go easily because it's just like when I don't look at my spending, I spend more than I think. But also people need to understand what it means if they're going to get on it. And like what, it, you know, like I'm always telling clients, like if I have some of my clients send a spreadsheet on a weekly basis, like with their calorie and protein numbers and it checks out the averages. And they get on the scale on a daily basis, and especially in the beginning, in a lot of cases, and I expect everyone knows this by now, but the truth is no one does. They get on the scale every day in the first week. It might be their first time committing to getting on the scale on a really, really regular basis. They really don't like the fluctuations. And I tell them, I'm like, when you send in your spreadsheet on a daily basis, the first place I look is what the averages say. And I might look throughout the week for any, like, just like outlier kind of days, like 2,800 mm-hmm. calories and the rest you ate 15 on Friday. Like I'm interested in like mm-hmm. the outliers, but they put a huge stock on a daily basis where I pay next to zero attention to what's actually happening. Like on that random Wednesday when your weight was, you know, 152 pounds and the rest of the week it was, you know, 149.5 or something. And you try and get people just like, and I think more exposure to this stuff helps. I don't think people get worse. Like, I think as people get better educated on like, just like how this works, I don't think they get worse about the scale. And I think that's part of our job. Like, you know, I treat that as part of my job is that if someone is uneasy about the scale, I treat that person that one of our jobs to do is actually get you comfortable with that number and what's actually happening. The other thing is like when you're looking at the scale, like that number isn't all that matters. Like they're like, actually it's really like, well, you know, we've both been coached by Jordan and when we first started, like the first time we talked about it and he went over like the program and how it works, he mentioned like progress analysis. And then on my end, I'm like, man, like you're really trying to sell this thing as if like what you're doing is very complicated. Because I was a trainer too, and I kind of understood it. And then now that I'm going through this with clients, I'm like, no, there's actually like an analysis here, and it's not that complicated. But you do have to understand what you can't pay attention to. But also, you have to realize mm-hmm. like a lot of stuff that I think is extremely simple at this point because I've been paying attention to it since I've been like 13 or 14, is like just like something that your clients just aren't thinking about. Like they see the weight as their scale, as their progress, or even worse, like a definition of themselves. But just like even worse, or not even worse, but like just like specifically towards progress, like scale goes up, good. Scale goes up or scale goes down, good. Scale goes up, bad. It's like, no, like scale stays the same. Waist goes down, good. Or I'm looking at like, what are you reporting? Versus, and this is a huge one, I don't think like people don't really get it. It's like I'm really looking closely to what's happened to the average weight based on what they're reporting, and you can find out whether people like don't track well, and that's a whole other conversation of how to address that, because that's very tricky, and getting people on the right, but that is another conversation, but how it all blends together and what's showing, because it's the weight, like the waist going down consistently is where I'm looking more at fat loss, but mm-hmm. typically you don't see that happen very long without the scale going down. So I doesn't think it's important. And I think sometimes we swung a little bit too far on teaching people that, like, I'm talking a lot here, but I sometimes bring up this example to some people who tell me they don't care about what they weigh. And I don't want to tell them that that's a bad thing, because I actually think it's kind of a good thing. But for our purposes, I'm always like trying to address the situation where you see on Instagram that this person transformed their body and they were the same weight in both pictures. And I'm like, there's a good chance that there's a reason that happened. One of them might be throughout the entire process that their body was changing. Their body weight did change quite a few times throughout that process. Or it's kind of an interesting situation where the person just didn't train for 6 months and all of a sudden started training again and their body kind of boosted back and looked different and the weight was the same. But in most cases, people's weight has to change to change significantly.
Yeah. And it fluctuated, you know, it did its little jagged trail kind of pattern throughout exactly. that time period too. It was, yeah. You know, and getting back to something you said at the beginning was about, and I thought it was a great analogy. When you don't keep track of how much money you spend, you tend to overspend. And I think I was just sitting there thinking, we all do that. Like, it is the same thing with food tracking. It's and the exact same thing.
And it is a budget. Like, if people only knew it was that simple, that the stuff isn't that complicated. But I mean, go read a book about like personal finances that just pretty much just repeats over and over, save more than you spend, and put some away. And you're like, wow, that isn't complicated. It's like, you know, it's like the same thing, except, when I was in college, I would go to the bar and like wake up the next morning with way less money than I had. And I was like, well, I only drink 5 beers. But the reality is the money I spent there probably indicates I drank a lot more than that. So, I mean, it's all just like, which isn't, you know, specifically speaking, like when people tell me they drink, I'm always skeptical that they're able to keep track of that. But because like, I mean, I live that lifestyle too. We all did.
You know,
track that better than I can. I mean, you're better than I.
I don't know about that. I've had a lot of experience, though, that's for sure. I will tell you this, though. It's interesting. People some people that I work with, and then just people that contact me in general, have seem to have their feet dug in with a level of resistance, I'll say, with regards to fine-tuning their tracking or maybe putting in that extra little bit of effort to figure out what's going on, you know, why the numbers look great on paper, but the reality is there's something not right because it's not happening. And invariably it is in how they're tracking or what they're not tracking, or they're not invariably doing something. And it's not necessarily purposeful. It's just a missing piece.
Yeah. Like just little stuff is kind of slipping by and happens.
Yeah.
I've been through this like whole thing like for a long, long time, just dieting through my teens and all that stuff. And I can tell you that, and I mean, you'd know this, but like, you know, when for people listening, it's just like, when you're trying and doing the right things to make progress, like, you know, it's like, you're diligent about what you're doing. Like when you're like the progress that people want to make, and if they want to dial in and like really do well, you know, you're doing it 7 weeks, you know, you're tracking everything. Like, it's uncomfortable. It kind of sucks. It's tedious. Like, if you want that kind of progress, like, you know, like when you're doing it, you know, it's happening because like you're measuring your almonds. Instead of taking a handful and being like, yeah, that's probably,
you know, it's so funny you bring up almonds, because I just recorded a solo podcast and almonds was part of the focus because of my history of yo-yo dieting, and almonds played a huge role in that for so many years, because I was one of those people that throughout the course of a day may have a handful here, a handful there, or whatever. And I look back on that now and think, okay, by the end of the day, that was probably an extra 500 calories just with almonds.
Yeah.
Just them.
Yeah. Well, I was trail mix. Trail mix. And I wasn't even like, oh, this is healthy. I would grab the stuff with the M&Ms in it.
Of course. Delicious. I would
like,
too.
That stuff's like, yeah, healthy. Also, it's, like, yeah. Like not. And it just like that could, you know, that could get in the way of weight loss just so easily. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, no, like, I mean, the health food thing and, you know, I think we just, people don't think this way, but like when you're looking at it from the outside, and like I'm like kind of auditing from the way I did this for a lot of years, it's like you're clinging to a lot of stuff that like you're trying to make a change and you want to make the change, and you're doing some of the right things and it makes you feel like you should be getting progress, but on like a couple of little areas you're clinging to things. And maybe you've cut out a few, like, I don't know, maybe you've cut out your chocolate snacking habit, but you've replaced it with an almond snacking habit, which didn't address the issue, which was consistent snacking. And like, mm-hmm. like put aside the fact that the almonds like have just as many calories as that chocolate did.
Yeah.
Or more. Potentially more for sure. And maybe you like ended up eating more of it because you justified like, you know, maybe the salt just made you want to continue eating it, but the problem that needed to be addressed may have been the fact that you snack all day. Sometimes, like, yeah. I can get actually pretty serious about this, which I think can actually drive people away. However, I hope the honesty helps. Sometimes I think like some of our favorite activities, and I'm actually like freaking talking to myself right now. some of our favorite activities of our lives, and I'm talking about like the people that. Like, you know, when you like to go to happy hour on Friday, and that's like your favorite uh-huh. thing in the week. Like that could be, you know, we were talking 50, 70, like 80% of the reason, you're holding the extra weight you are. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying like these things, the things that you're clinging to might be the big reason. Because no matter how much willpower you have, like, you know, those five or six drinks you might pour back on Friday night, leading to the nachos later, leads to sleeping in on Saturday, leads to like, you know, different kind of taste buds, into Saturday, which leads you to more snacking that you wouldn't otherwise do. Like, it's all connected. Like if I sleep 4 hours, my propensity to have cereal and white bread is incredible. If I sleep on Friday night like I would sleep on Monday or Tuesday, my ability to eat the same stir fry I eat on Monday or Tuesday evening, and just regular eating habits and all this stuff, and I get to the gym, like stuff just happens really easily when I do that. But it's these little hiccups and things that we often cling to that are often the biggest barriers to the results we want.
I totally agree. I think that whole issue you were just talking about, yeah, I subbed in the almonds for the chocolate, thinking, okay, almonds are quote healthy, unquote, not even thinking that you've probably consumed more calories, but you're not really even addressing the issue yeah. itself, which was the snacking issue itself. And then why are we snacking? Is it yeah. out of boredom? Is that an awareness thing, or are you actually really hungry? Your meals aren't structured enough, or timing isn't off, or you're not eating enough at a given meal, or, you know, it's not addressing the actual issue. You're right. Yeah. It's like a Band-Aid.
Yeah. And that's when the reality of our job comes into play, that it's like, I'm not afraid to, well, for one, you hope that person sticks around and works with you on that, because I'll tell you what, like, you're not going to get to the end of, like, and we all make these mistakes. I'm speaking largely to myself, but you're not going to get to the end of life wishing you had went to two times the amount of happy hours that you did. And like, we all yeah. get to pick our vices and stuff, but you know, like, you're not going to get to the end of life and realize, man, I wish I was a snacker. Like, you know?
Yeah, God.
Like,
yeah, right.
Someone asked me the other day, like, what do I do for snacks? I'm like, well, I mean, have you ever considered not? And I'm like, I'm afraid for them to be like, yeah. I need a snack. And I'm like, okay, well, let's figure that out. Like, you know, I don't want to be like a bit of an asshole, but like, it's like something people don't consider. Like, they've had the snack since they were 6 years old going to kindergarten. It's like that they're Have you ever
the graham crackers and milk.
Like you might save yourself 400 calories, and have a bigger dinner.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or like, you know, or mm-hmm. that glass of wine isn't that big of a deal. Yeah, no, I think like these are like, and actually what I was getting at was, you know, it kind of sucks, but I'm not afraid for someone to leave me and have some really, really honest answers that they can think about, where it's like, yeah. Okay, well, and if I, like, you know, if someone's like, well, this thing you're clinging to is probably the reason why nothing's going to happen. And if they leave me and they go think about that for the next 6 months and they decide they want it, like, they don't want to give up, you know, two times going for beers on the weekend or, you know, what have you, you know, then they get to make a choice. And at least,
yeah,
at least that's empowering. Like, yeah. at least,
absolutely.
Like, you know, I'm up to weight because I, you know, unless I go for a walk every day, I walk about 3,000 steps versus when I was training in person, it's like 20,000 and I've eaten a little, it's been summer. Like, but you know, I said this on, I was on Sam's podcast last week and I was like, I hope people get to a point where they can realize like they made that choice. Like I have 10 extra pounds that like I would actually feel better if I didn't have this on me, and it's something that I will be addressing, but I'm not like, you know, my life just didn't get really confusing because I was like, how did that happen? I'm freaking out. I'm just like I made a choice. Like I made some choices. I know exactly why it happened. I know how to address it. And I think like to get people to a point where they know the real answers of, you know, what they have to do and you know, why they're holding extra weight, and like, no, it's not because like, you know, you had a bit of chocolate or it's not even because you had a bit of alcohol, but it could be, you know, related, you know, what happens after.
Sure. You know, I think too, people are quick to jump in when their stomach is growling or the first sign of hunger. I know I used to do that. When I would hear my stomach growl, automatically I would think, oh, I have to get something to eat.
Yeah.
I have to eat because my stomach just growled. Rather than, no, you don't. You're not going to starve. And it is a little uncomfortable, but there are ways you can take the edge off of that. And let your body do its thing. And I think the impatience with that plays a huge role. That's why we're constantly grabbing a handful of this or going to get a little bit of that, you know, a snack here, a snack there. I think that can get out of control quick.
Totally. And like if there's Crispers or Ritz crackers or potato chips or chocolate in my house, I'm always hungry. You know,
yeah, right.
And it's like as soon as you have it, you're like, you know, you're not hungry. Like it's crazy how like not hungry I am if I like, you know, if you're eating vegetables and lean proteins all day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like it's just there's a lot of interaction between, you know, how your mind interprets your physiology.
Yeah, have you ever had a client starting nutritionally from ground zero, like going from I am eating like an asshole all the time with no boundaries, no nothing, to I want to start reining it
in.
I'm
not laughing at that situation. I'm laughing at a situation I remember where someone did come to me that would like probably fall under this, she didn't sign up. Price was it, and she was actually on training nutrition kind of like inquiry, and suggested to her. I'm only laughing because like I sent this situation elsewhere because these are actually that's a tough situation, like, you know, teaching someone how to cook, like I'm not a cooking coach, like I should have some ideas there. I actually recommended she go see a nutrition coach specifically to work specifically on that. I'm laughing because I said like I directed her to some colleagues, but I think like for me, I hope the people at that point are using the free information. And I don't want someone to sign up for me and be like, you know, you have to go out and buy a frying pan and learn how to use the stove. Light on that, because like there's a huge, like, especially if you grew up in the 70s, 80s and you know, when processed food became normal, you may have grown up without your parents having taught you how to cook anything. And that's like, when we're talking about snacking as being like a sticking point to your progress, and in an inability to cook and an unwillingness to cook, like, is square one.
It is. And you, but you know, what's interesting nowadays is that you really, I mean, you can do it without having to be this cook. I'm not a cook at all. I am not one of these recipe kind of girl, you know? And I think that's where some people balk at cooking. Like, they think they have to be this foodie or something. And you don't have to anymore. There's so many easy ways to cook and not, I just did it today, actually. As a matter of fact, literally before we got on, I turned on my crock pot. And put some chicken in there and threw some mustard and some other stuff in there, and boom, hopefully it's 7 o'clock. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, yeah. What are some of your go-tos?
Rotisserie chickens have been a real go-to for me. Those, you know, you walk in a store and get those. That's the ultimate, I don't want to cook kind of thing. But literally, I put out on Instagram a couple weeks ago, help people. I'm not a cook. What are your go-to easy, like, crock pot things? And I got a slew of stuff back, which was great. But there was one common thing, I think, really with almost everyone. And that was chicken and like a jar of salsa. Just start with that. And all day, like 6-7 hours on low. Literally nothing else. And that's amazing. Actually, I've done that several times. And then you can play on that. You know, I add a little more spice to it now. I'm doing another one that Kim Schlag gave me on Dijon mustard and a little bit of syrup in there. And so I'm trying that one today just to mix it up. And then I use that chicken however long it will last throughout the week, you know. But that's a great example of I don't cook. I mean, I don't use recipes. That's about as recipe as I get. And it's something different. It's something easy. You can add whatever veggies you want to, you know, I mean, it's for those of us that are not good cooks. So it can be.
Yeah. Well, you know, like that salsa and chicken idea, like you should do a little video on that. And it's funny because it's simple as it is. Like, When I thought about telling you that, it reminded me of when Jordan, he made a video once showing people how to take videos of themselves doing workouts in the gym. And it was basically just him. It was a video of him putting a dumbbell on the floor. And
he right. Yeah.
You know, something that you would think, you know, you could figure out on your own, but we're just like, sometimes we're just kind of like, you know, I could walk into, like, I don't know, the accountant's office and, like, you know, just like you'd be like, do this. And I'd be like, how? And it's like the simplest thing in the world. Like, you know, grab a pen. Yeah. And so it's like, I bet like people would love that.
You know, well, I may just have to do that, actually. I'll come across as this like Julia Childs here or something. Far from it. You know, but it's interesting that, When Jordan and I were doing the Facebook Live in the Inner Circle the other day, we talked a lot about changing one thing. And I think that's how people, and that's how I've worked with people coming from, you know, a ground zero or close to ground zero on anything is, okay, so we're not going to try to overhaul everything like this week. You know, let's focus in on, okay, for a month, let's focus in on trying to get calories within a certain range, or just focus on that. And then let's get good at that. And let's start with what kinds of protein, make a list of protein options and what the calorie counts are and those kinds of things, that basic level, and just get good at one thing first, whatever that one thing is.
Try and find like the easiest thing to change. It's going to make the biggest change type of thing.
Yeah.
No, I listened to that video. That was a good one.
It makes a lot of sense for a lot of people, because I think when there's so many things to change, it can get overwhelming. And I equate it to this: walking into your house that's a cluttered mess, and you look around and you're going, shit, I need to clean this up. And it's so much shit, you don't know where to start. And it's like, you freeze, you're paralyzed, you have no idea what to do. And so you don't, you just don't do anything. And instead, what you should do is work one drawer at a time, one shelf at a time, one bookcase at a time, one thing at a time, clean it out, then go on to the next thing. You just go one thing at a time. And the same thing with nutrition, you know, fix one thing, get good at one thing.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I am.
So funny, my phone just rang. Anyway, so I just the paralysis that can happen when there's way too many things.
Yeah, it's a good analogy too, because you know, a messy room or whatever always looks like more work than it actually is, and you know, as soon as you grab the big blanket that's like lying in the corner, all of a sudden like you fold that and it doesn't look so bad.
Yeah, just like exactly.
Know, choose your biggest thing. And I mean, like, I've actually found, like, because sometimes I think people, like, I'll have people, like, a lot of my clients have trouble getting their protein number in. Actually, and I think they're prone to thinking that, like, protein is a weight loss tool. Like, if I didn't lose weight this week because my protein wasn't there, that's not directly true. The reason sometimes I'll actually, like, because I had a client, and I don't know if this is exactly why, because there's a couple things at play, but she actually thought she was hypothyroid because she had lost about like, she lost about 10 pounds. And it's like, you know, we'd been going on, we're probably going on 5 or 6 months, plenty of weight loss on her weight. Things were happening well, but it kind of stuck. And she was kind of frustrated because her calories looked like they were in the right spot. And then I told her, I was like, okay, well, you know, we're going to do a challenge. I'm like, you're going to get your protein up to about 120. And then, and I just want to see what happens. And then she lost about 5 pounds in 4 weeks. And I just think there's a lot to be said about, like, it's not because the protein made a direct change. It's because it had a kind of cascade effect on probably other things that she was doing. And like you know, if you're going to eat more chicken, you're probably going to eat more vegetables. You're probably not as hungry. Like, it's just like, and that's one, I think I listened to a podcast with James Krieger, who's like big on like metabolism and the science of all this stuff. And, you know, protein count, one of the hallmarks of like a big, like of a weight loss program being that just, it has a way of regulating. Anyways, that's kind of off topic, but just like sometimes finding these one changes that can have, like, if you just have someone eat vegetables 3 times a day, well, it's just only natural that they're probably going to start eating better meals.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, just focus on one thing and master that. I think that's a great place to start for so many people. Absolutely. You know, I wanted to bring up one more thing with you, and that is the topic of skinny fat. because I know we both get messaged about this a lot, and I would just love to hear how you would take somebody through a program who considers themselves skinny fat.
Yeah. This is a big one. Like, especially I think with women, and it's like that's definitely not just women, but I think a lot of women, and they can get into a dieting trap because this is where they start. I think you can go both ways. I've like heard people like, when you're skinny fat, you have to lose fat first. When you're skinny fat, you should build muscle first. Like, I think that kind of depends, and I think like you kind of have some options, but like I think for one, people who like if you're like underweight and you can't do a pull up, I think that's like pretty good indication that like you just need to get stronger and but you might not actually have to be dieting, and not that you're gonna be able to do a chin up in like, you know, 2 weeks or something, but. But it's just an indication that, like, I think people need to know that, like, when you're in this position, you probably isn't fat, fat and eating less as much as it's, like, you don't have enough muscle, and that problem will never be addressed if all you ever do is diet.
Yes.
And like the thing that people have to know is that, like, if you're in this situation and you do choose lose weight first, or sorry, fat loss first. It can probably be addressed quickly. However, it won't be fun because you're already like, your metabolism is you know, you're not overweight. So like, you're already someone who, you know, to lose that fat, you probably actually have to keep your calories pretty low. And like,
yeah, it's going to be really tough. I think really tough and frustrating. And, you know, I think you hit a nerve with that, it's time for a lot of those people to stop focusing on, I want to lose the extra, you know, 4 pounds or whatever, and start building muscle, you know, and start getting strong, get your focus into the gym, slowly bump up calories just a little bit, hanging in, you know, into a normal range instead of probably the overly restricted number that was happening. And that obviously wasn't working. And just get strong, because I think your comment about if you're skinny and you can't do a chin up or any kind of exercise with some decent weight, then yeah, it's time to build strength. And it's amazing when you take your focus away from losing weight or losing fat, when you've been kind of spinning your wheels, and change it over to the gym and performance and giving yourself some goals there while keeping nutrition kind of in check. It's amazing what will happen.
Yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, like, not just people like who would identify with that run into this problem, but there's just too much either, like, there's never a focus on that, like, adding muscle part. Like, the concept of eating more than, like, eating in a calorie surplus, which I've had so much fun, like, coaching women into.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like, so you want me to eat what I don't want to eat anymore? And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, bad things don't happen, which is, like, you know, you're not going to gain an inch on your waist in the next 4 weeks. Unless you're like, you know, going to Pizza Hut every day, like, but I mean, that stuff is actually pretty rewarding, because all of a sudden you give people like a better, like coaching people through a point where they're paying attention to what's happening while they're eating more than they've ever had,
mm-hmm.
can be so like educational from seeing what bad doesn't happen from eating. Like, if, like, sitting in a desk all day and not going to the gym and not testing your body at all, and, like, you know, drinking regularly, like, all of this combined, people usually run into problems, and it takes years. Showing someone that, like, yeah, like, nothing, like, destructive to your fat loss is going to happen, just because, like, you know, you ate 300 calories over maintenance, whatever that may be, for a period of, you know, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and so on. And all of a sudden you just realize that this was the key to the tone, and probably strength, that you've been looking for so long. You know, it's the missing piece of the puzzle for a lot of people.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think people get hung up when they hear the word surplus, that in their head, that means, you know, a trillion more calories or some astronomical amount that they have to now add on. And so that screws with their head, and it's counterintuitive to so many people. And I think just because they have that misconception of what a surplus actually is, that makes it even more difficult for them to dip their toe in, when in reality, they just need to slowly put in some calories, not slap on 600 a day and call it an evening, you know, and go out and gorge every day, which is what I think people think.
Well, yeah, no, and this always brings up a point for me, because, like, and it relates to, like, you know, like, cause, you know, when, you know, people listening, they might not be in the industry, but, like, when you work in this field and you're taught how to, like, write to people, you're taught how to, and if this seems off topic, I swear it isn't, but, but I just want to talk about something for a second. We're told, like, you know, people think tone is this word, or use weight loss, because that's the words that people use. And I'm always like, I think that's actually somewhat of a problem. Now, I don't think anything productive comes from telling people, like, you know, toning isn't a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching people what it actually is, because I think people, like, when people think toning, they think fat loss.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes, like, the path to your toning goal is actually weight gain. And then all of a sudden it's like, weight gain? Well, that sounds really negative. It's like, no, I mean adding lean muscle, and this is what it means. It's like, we've given such like weight loss, like weight loss is just losing weight. I mean, that's not necessarily a good thing, but we've taught people it's a positive. And I don't know. I think something you said there was just like, for me, it was just like, sometimes I think, like, because weight gain is like, you know, adding muscle is the way in a lot of cases for a lot of people that you know, for their goals. And I think we've just given such like bad labels to a lot of this stuff, or even,
yeah.
And like we're taught to use the words that, like, you know, a prospective client or a fitness consumer would use. And I think sometimes the problem is they might not actually even understand the word they're using, at what it actually means and what the pathway is. And, like, I guess that plays into, like, you know, our job in educating people. But like, sometimes, like, and I do it, I mean, like, just use these words because they use them, and I almost think we're just like, we're never actually fixing the problem.
I totally agree. We could be perpetuating the problem, actually. But I will say this, as far as educating people, you, my work son, are one of the best I've ever seen. I think you are truly remarkable in how you educate people. And I really want everyone out there, if you don't follow my work son, you need to go follow him on Instagram, Chad Hargrove One, because you will learn a ton from him. Yeah, I truly mean that. You're the way you write and the way you can talk to people is amazing. Super, super proud of you.
Thanks so much. It's very touching. I said it when we met, you'd inspire a ton of people, and it looks like you're doing that too. No, but I love you. I'm super proud of you. And, you know, thanks for having me on.
Well, man, you know, I love you dearly, and thank you for doing this. And, yeah, we will talk soon. Okay.
For sure. I'll probably talk right after this.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Have a good one. Right, take care. Too.